Lord God, we look to you and we offer ourselves, our eyes, our hearts, those ways that we perceive you, our very beings, that we could perceive you more truly as to who you are and to glimpse your majesty. Have mercy on us, we pray, because we know we could not survive the fullness of your glory. One day, though, one day we will. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a lot going on in the readings. Historically, the sweep is very great. Whenever you hear they went up to the mountain, what does it bring to mind? The first time, right? Moses going up to the mountain after they were delivered. So they're delivered people. The nation Israel was bondage to slavery in Egypt. They're then delivered from that slavery, and God gives them the law. God gives them structure. God gives them a way to live that will bring satisfaction in life. Some people sort of, you know, chafe at that, like that's going to take away someone's freedom. Well, it's the difference between kids running around a field chasing a soccer ball, which is lots of fun, and the proper game of soccer with lines, with goals, with a referee, even if it's a mom or dad, with a whistle. That's the game of soccer. The other is fine and good, but if you're going to play soccer, you need some rules. Wouldn't you agree? Are rules life-giving, or are they constricting in that case? Of course they're life-giving. They make soccer possible in that example. So I would suggest that this law-giving was given in order to make life possible. The focus here is on the transfiguration of Jesus. And so if we see this mountaintop experience that Moses went on, Aaron, he didn't know what he was getting into. Well, neither of them did they? 40 days and 40 nights. And all the nation Israel saw was fire on the mountaintop. Can you imagine? They thought he was a goner. I'm sure. They thought he was a goner. And so that's a whole other story, what transpired down the mountain. But it's the glory, this glory of the Lord. I don't know what you associate glory with. The scriptures are full of, you know, the sovereign dressed in glorious dress, fine clothes, a crown, a diadem. I don't know what resonates with you with regard to glory. Maybe it's the halftime show at the Super Bowl. I hope it's bigger than that. I hope it's more wonderful than that. I really do. One time I looked at an eclipse of the sun. I was an idiot to do that because the glory of the sun was too powerful and I injured my eyes, I'm not sure. But all I could see after I looked at that with inappropriate eyewear protection was an image of that sun. I saw it for a couple days and I went for healing. That's a whole other story, but God healed my eyes. But I tried to look at this glorious image of this eclipse of the sun, and I couldn't do it. I was injured because of it. And so whenever the glory is manifest, people end up on their faces. It's like when the sun comes out after it's been in the clouds for a while. Do you ever go, you know, especially when you're driving? Has that ever happened to you? It's like it's difficult. Your eyes need to make an adjustment. So if that's the case with simple sunshine, you know, what about the glory of the Lord? There's an understanding that we could not physically endure it. We would be obliterated by the glory of the Lord. Now, this is beyond me, but it makes sense to me. And so when the glorious cloud came over the mountain, it would have been terrifying. The words translated here just sort of grasp at images. They were beside themselves. They were terrified. They were outside of themselves with fear. It was this otherworldly experience, this encounter with the Holy God. And Peter, we have this beautiful account in second letter of Peter of his remembrance of this. It's beautiful. We made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was power that he experienced. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Amazing. What an incredible opportunity to be on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's a bookend. Do you see it? Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. The law was given. And who was Jesus with on the Mount of Transfiguration? Two other figures. Moses and Elijah. So the law and the prophets, what did Jesus come to do but to fulfill the law and the prophets? So Jesus comes, manifests God's glory, honors the Son, and names him as we sang it, name of all names. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. It's a beautiful opportunity we have to hear Peter's encounter of it. He received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice, the bat call, the voice from heaven, was conveyed to him by the majestic glory. Isn't that beautiful? That God is referred to as the majestic glory. Peter's, again, trying to have words to explain this image. And this voice from the majestic glory said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And so that is the fulfillment of the law, Jesus. So as we gather for our vestry meeting today, we're quite right to focus on Jesus in all things. Yes, we have a budget. Yes, we have an accounting of last year. Yes, we have reports from many people serving in Jesus' name. Ultimately, we focus on Jesus. And it's through Jesus and in Jesus that we do have this ministry. And hopefully the glory will be reflected through our gathering and through this worship. Peter says something that I think is timely for us, and I'm thinking in context of our annual general meeting or our vestry. You are the vestry. The membership of St. Cuthbert Church is the vestry. And if you haven't grown up in Anglicanism, there are some words that you just need to learn. And I like to say, if you have a vested interest in this place, you are the vestry. There are canons or laws that structure who can vote today, and those will be read. They're quite straightforward. But come on along if you're interested. We'll even feed you in advance of this vestry meeting. Peter says, be attentive to this. You will do well to be attentive to this. And so we'd be attentive to God's manifestation. And that's a quickening. If there's an opportunity to serve, you might go, you know what, I never thought of that, but I want to do that. That's what I want to do. Whether it's being a communion server or lead a reflection during Lent, there's opportunities to be a parish council member. There's a variety of ways, and perhaps God will draw you and communicate to you very personally what would please God. Jesus is with his disciples. We heard Luke's rendition. We also hear Matthew's rendition. That's what's in your bulletin in terms of the reference. But there's this plural witness to this amazing occurrence of Peter, James, and John going up the mountain. Jesus discipling them and taking them on the most unforgettable field trip of all time. This follows in Matthew's gospel, anyway, from Jesus' dialogue with the disciples as to who he is. Very important that they grasp this, and very important that we do as well. And they say, Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And some said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist," and others say Elijah or one of the prophets. So there was this sort of unclear understanding who Jesus was. And so he says to them, "And who do you say that I am?" And Peter shines at this moment, right? And gives this statement, this confession of faith. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And do you remember what Jesus says? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But this has been revealed from heaven, from the glorious presence, however Jesus might have referred to his Father. This has been revealed by the Spirit. He also goes on to say there's a shift in Jesus' teaching. They're up in the north, Caesarea Philippi. They're quite far from Jerusalem. But Jesus shifts now and focuses on, as the children quite rightly focused, on the cross. And he talks about the cost of following Jesus, the cost of being a disciple. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that must be killed, and on the third day must be raised to life. And so we have this feast day of the Transfiguration, and it calls us to be attentive, to kind of, hello, just to check in, to touch base, to keep our focus on Jesus, and then look through Lent and look through the Passion of Christ to Easter, the resurrection, our hope of glory. So I think Jesus is really calling the disciples to the very same thing. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and his brother John and took them up the mountain by themselves. So this is apart from the rest of the disciples, focusing in on their particular discipleship. And we heard the story. His face, again, shone like the sun. Can't quite have words to describe it. His clothes became dazzling white. Another translation says, whiter than any human fuller or washer could get them. It was just beyond description. And with Jesus, again, we hear that Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus. Can you imagine that? This divine conversation. The law and the prophets and Jesus who came to fulfill them, not do away with them. I can just see them arms over their shoulders talking. Moses and Elijah seeing the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets to be in Jesus' midst. What an incredible moment. It's just one to ponder and to consider. And then this talking together, this divine conversation, and guess who interrupts it? Peter. Peter's got a great idea. He just couldn't wait. Do your kids ever do that to you? They just can't wait, and so they interrupt. Right? We all know what that's like. But can you imagine this divine conversation, and Peter interrupts? He says, I got a great idea. Do you mind if I just throw an idea in here? We make three shelters, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, and then we can just hang out here, because it's so amazing. We can just, like, get a post office box, just settle in here. We love this. This is amazing, Jesus. And so as he's interrupting and offering this great idea, this grand idea, one, as we heard, the Luke's translation says he didn't know what he was talking about. He was so taken. He was so just, you know, blown away, is maybe what a modern rendering would say. And God, in God's mercy, interrupts Peter. There's a divine interruption, which trumps Peter's interruption. And I can't help but think that at our annual vestry meeting, there's room for us to get it wrong, is there not? There's room for us to offer what we think and feel and experience. It's an open meeting. It's for the vestry to voice itself. And we do that in many ways. Like I say, in the written reports, in the financial statements, there's also an open mic to express your heart, your perspective. And there's also, because we have a chair who is Len Reamer, you might be interrupted. You might be out of order. There's Robert's rules that govern our gathering, right? But that's not the focus. There's a freedom to even make a mistake. And we trust that God in his mercy save Peter from driveling on. And God interrupted. Whilst Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. I bet that just cut off all conversation. And from the cloud, a voice said, and again, I believe this is what we're called to, this focus. This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So may we do that as we gather. What was their response? They were flat on their faces. They fell to the ground and were overcome by fear because it was just so amazing, so overpowering. The voice, the cloud, it was a bright cloud. It was just this manifestation of glory. And Jesus, in his mercy, what does he do? He comes and says, get up. I can just see him putting his hand out. Get up. Do not be afraid. So may we, as we gather this afternoon and consider God's desire, God's mission and ministry in and through us to our community and beyond, may we just hear these words. Get up. Come on. Don't be afraid. And if God interrupts us, that we'd all say, boy, am I glad that happened. I'm so glad we heard from God and received our direction from Jesus. Dancers. There's a few here. As dancers twirl, or ice dancers, have you ever wondered how they keep from falling down? Maybe you know. Have you danced? Do you know what that's like? Spinning? I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. Have you ever tried to spin? I start getting wobbly and I fall down. So I'm just amazed when I see these dancers twirling. Ballerinas. Ice dancers. And as I've asked them, how do you keep upright? How do you keep it together? They say they focus on a point. It's called something. Does anyone know? Huh? Spotting. So they spot, and as they turn around, they spot it. They see that moment once again. And so it's our opportunity to keep our spot, to fix that eye on Jesus as we go through what we're called to do. That happens at the reign of Christ, before we enter Advent and consider God coming to earth in Jesus in the form of a baby. And we visit it now at this transfiguration, this last day of Epiphany, as we then look into Lent toward Easter, that we'd keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. As Peter said, to be attentive to this as we gather. I'm excited for our annual vestry meeting. I hope you'll join us. And I can't tell you how long it lasts, but we begin at noon after having a light refreshment, and then usually goes an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, maybe. And if you wanted to come and check it out, you could come and then leave whenever you needed to leave or were called away. So how about we pray? We will pray in the intercessions, but let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you draw us outside of ourselves and you call us to a place where we have no experience at all. And then you inform us as to what that's about. Jesus, we ask that you draw near. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd guide us, instruct us in the way to go, that St. Cuthbert as a body could be faithful, and that we as individuals, as we go out in Jesus' name, as followers of Jesus, could also be faithful, guided and directed by not the law and the prophets, but guided by the living Christ, the fulfillment of the law of the prophets. You've given us all things in order to live satisfying lives, lives that please you and reflect your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.